Turn your Bibles to John chapter 4, please. I want to thank our elders for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I also want to thank all the members for coming back. And especially thankful for my friends that showed up, and also my mother, and any other visitors that might be here. If I could title this lesson, I would title it The Value of One Soul. And I want to read John chapter 4, 1 through 8. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me drink," for his disciples were going away to the city to buy meat. You know, I've often thought, why did Jesus say, "I must needs go through Samaria"? Well, Samaria was a town of, they were half-breeds. They were part Jews and Jewish and Gentiles. And so the Jews didn't want to go through the town because they didn't want to have no dealings with it. And it was about the sixth hour of the day, which is 12 o'clock noon. In that part of the country, they say that it's really cold there in the mornings. And then in the afternoon, about midday, it's really hot. And it says in verse 7, "Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" So I've often thought about that statement. Jesus started a conversation with, "Give me a drink." Now, how many conversations can we talk to people out there about the Lord with just a simple, maybe it's just we have cards in the foyer of the times of our service here, the place of worship, the address. You know, we might go through the McDonald's line, and when we go through there, we might say, "Here's a card, come and see us." It don't take much effort for that. You know, so, and we never know what a little kindness might do. One time I had just moved into a neighborhood. Lady came up to the house. She had some canned goods from her garden. And she said, "I want to welcome you to the neighborhood." And she said, "And by the way, we worship at such and such church. I'd like to have you come out." Well, I went there for a pretty good while just because she asked me to. She just opened her mouth and asked me to. He said his disciples had gone into town to buy food. Now I want to read John 4, 9 through 15. It said, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, 'How is it that thou being a Jew askest a drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.' Jesus therefore and said unto her, 'If thou knowest the gift of God, who is it that saith to thee, "Give me a drink"? Thou wouldest have asked of him, and I would have given thee living water.' The woman said unto him, 'Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then thou hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whoever drank of the water I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Okay. Jesus offered her spiritual water. She didn't understand this at the time. And think about this too. Jesus didn't condemn her for her actions because he knew her past. You know, and the reason she was at the well probably at 12 noon was because of her reputation. You know, most women would come to the well late in the afternoon where they could be with the other women and socialize with them. But her past, she was ashamed. So, you know, I think about this. I believe Jesus knew all of this while he was still in Judea. He knew about this woman, I believe. It don't say that, but I really believe that he knew about this woman. Now I want to read 4:16 through 19. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto them, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and the one that thou hast is not thy husband. In that said thou truly. The woman said unto him, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Okay, when she first met Jesus, she said, How is it that you, being a Jew, asked a Samaritan woman for a drink of water? And now she's moved to, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now I'm going to be reading from 20 to 24. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what you know. What we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You know, several years ago, I had a friend, and he told me, he said, when I go out of town, he said, I look for the oldest church there is. He said, I don't care what denomination it is or what it is. But he said, I like old church buildings, and that's where I go to worship. Now, my answer to that is, I'd rather worship with five people under a shade tree, worshiping in spirit and truth, than worshiping a million-dollar building with 300 people. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at. Now I'm going to read from 25 to 43. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man said, Why seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way to the city and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And I sent you to reap where you bestow no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of this woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him, and he would tarry with them, and abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And saith the woman, now we believe not because of the saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Notice that in that reading it said, come see a man who told me all things. Could this be the Christ? Now she's moved from, how is it that you being a Jew talking to a Samaritan woman? Then I perceive that you're a prophet. And now he's saying, that could this be the Christ? So she was so excited. She forgot what she even came to the well for. She left her water pot there. And at that time, the disciples had come back to town. They had went to town to buy food and come back and told the disciples, said, eat, Master. And the Master said, I have food to eat that you know not of. And the disciples says, have someone gave him food? And he said, his food is to do the will of the Father. He was spiritually fed. Think about this. He was spiritually fed from this adulterous woman. Her, she was, I think she was a great asset to the Lord that day. And we think about that. Who really is an asset to the Lord? You know, I've been in congregations where somebody had come and maybe they look like the perfect couple with 2 or 3 kids. And so, oh, boy, they'd be a great asset. And they probably would be. But we don't know that. It's sad to say the town drunk might be the great asset. Or the one on drugs. We don't know who might be a great asset. Think about Saul of Tarsus. He left Jerusalem on his way to Damascus. He said he had letters that if he found any in the way, being in the way meaning faithful Christians, whether men or women, that he was going to bind them and bring them back. So as he was near Damascus, a light shined around, struck him down. And the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why does thou persecutest me? And Saul said, who is it, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now you go into Damascus, and you'll be told what to do. He goes into Damascus. He's to see a man named Ananias. He said Ananias had a vision from the Lord. But this man was coming in, Saul of Tarsus, and he was going to be on the street called Straight at the house of Judas, and he'll be praying. He said, I want you to go to him. Ananias didn't want to go to him because he'd heard a lot of bad things. He said, he's persecuted our people in Jerusalem, and he's here to bring them back. Bind them and bring them back. And the Lord said, but he's going to be a chosen vessel for us. but he will suffer many things for my name's sake. You know, in Matthew 13, it says the sower went out to sow some seed. And he said some of it fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. So the birds got some of it. So the sower keeps the sowing. And it said some fell among the rocks, which didn't have much soil, didn't have no moisture. And when it came up, it was scorched and withered. So you can say that the rocks got some of it. But the sower keeps the sowing. And it said some fell among the thorns. And when it sprang up, it was choked. So we can say that the thorns got some of it. But the sower keeps the sowing. And it said some fell, but it fell on good ground. And it produced some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. You know, when we plant our garden, we don't focus on what don't come up. We focus on what does come up. And when it comes up, we water it good, we fertilize it, we take our hoe and hoe around it, we run a tiller through it, we really look after it. Ain't that the way we're supposed to do to a young convert? We really work with them, don't we? We're supposed to really work with them and encourage them and build them up. I'll tell you about a guy named Denny Freeman. Denny lived in I think it was Massachusetts. I'm drawing a blank right now. But anyway, Denny told me that from the time he was, say, 10 on up to his about 20-year-old, he said, I was really wild. He said, started out that I just cursed a lot. He said, I got into stealing. See, got into lying. He was a liar. Had a lying problem. He said, older he got into drugs, alcohol. He said, he smoked. He said, had sex. Whatever there was out there, he said, I was in. He said, I had long hair about halfway down my back. He said, this was in the 70s. He said, I wore the bell-bottom pants. Said he had some orange bell-bottom pants he wore. He said, I was just wild. But he said, also that he played in rock and roll band. He was a drummer in a rock and roll band. And he said, we were pretty good. He said, matter of fact, we played for some famous entertainers. He said he lived in an apartment complex. Said he had a knock on his door one day. He went to the door. There was a lady that lived in that apartment complex. He said an 84-year-old woman in a wheelchair gave him a flyer to a gospel meeting. He looked at that. He said, you know, I don't have anything to do. I may just go and see what this is about. So then he went, and he said he liked what he heard. So he went back, had some studies with them. They showed some film strips. And before long, he obeyed the gospel. He said, not just me. This 84-year-old lady in the wheelchair was responsible for about 7 other people. That was about 3 of them was band members and their wives. They were responsible. She was responsible for leading them to Christ. In other words, giving them the flyer. So about 10 souls come from this. Later on, Denny Freeman became a minister of the Weatherly Heights Church of Christ. I got some friends that go there. Forrest and Dot Summers, they told me that they had 5 different Bible studies in their home. And he said when he'd do a Bible study, he would tell all about it, and then he would look at them, and he said, "Now what do you think you need to do?" And they said, "Well, I need to be baptized." One of the ladies that was baptized was a lady that Miss Dot worked with on ours. And she said, "I don't know why I did this, but I went up to this lady, knowing about her past. She cursed a lot. She was just wild. But she asked her for it. Would you be interested in Bible study?" And she came. And she obeyed the gospel. And to this day, she is very faithful and married a man that's a very faithful Christian. And right now, Denny is preaching in Florida. He's preaching in the prison system. He's averaging 25 to 30 baptisms a year. Then I heard a guy speak one time, and he said either he was in Ohio going to West Virginia or West Virginia going to Ohio. I don't remember. But he said he went to a gospel meeting there, and he got there early, like on Saturday. They handed out flyers for the gospel meeting. Said he went to a rough place in town there, and he left the flyer. He went to a trailer park and he said it was rough. He said, "I went to the very back of it, knocked on the door, but they went home, and I left the flyer there." And he said he goes on back and does the gospel meeting. Don't hear nothing from the guy, you know, or whoever it was there. But he comes back the next year, has another meeting. This guy walks up to him and says, "You don't know who I am, but you came to my door and left a flyer on my door of the gospel meeting. And I started coming here and worshiping." So this preacher had to ask some of the members. He said, "Tell me about this guy." They said, "He's one of our most faithful members that we have." He said, "He's willing to do anything that we ask." So you never know. You never know. You know, in John 3:17, God said about his son, "My son did not come into the world to condemn the world. My son came in the world to save the world." In John chapter 8, the scribes and Pharisees bring a woman caught in a very active adultery, brought her to Jesus, said, they were trying to tempt Jesus. They said, in the law of Moses, it said such a one should be stoned. But what do you say? Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. And he said, "Ye that without sin, cast the first stone." So can't you just hear the rocks hitting the ground? So Jesus says, "Where are your accusers? Where are all of those who condemned you?" So they left. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." Jesus didn't come in the world to condemn us. He came in the world to save us. But we can condemn ourselves by not obeying. It's a simple process. You repent of your sins. You confess Christ as your Savior, and you're baptized. Galatians 3:27 said, "For as many have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Some versions say, "have clothed themselves with Christ." That's how we're clothed. That's how we come in contact with Christ's blood through baptism. This don't put you into a denomination. It puts you into Christ. Acts 2:47 said that we added to His church after we're baptized. So tonight, if there is anyone that hasn't obeyed the gospel, it's never a better time right now, because we don't know what tomorrow may hold. And if those may be some that has obeyed but have left their first love, it's time to come back as together we stand the same.